Welcome to the Word for Life broadcast. My name is Pastor Steve Sowers, in for Pastor Greg Huffman. And over the next several broadcasts, we're going to be talking about a life of faith and what that looks like. Now, when you think of living by faith, it is a wonderful, horrible, terrifying way to live, isn't it? It's natural for us to want to see it, to believe it, or to know how something's going to turn out. But living by faith doesn't come naturally to us. It's extremely difficult. I don't know about you, but I find great encouragement knowing that in heaven, we do not live by faith anymore. We will actually live by sight. And that's extremely comforting to me. But what about the here and now? We're not in heaven right now, praise the Lord. How do we live by faith here in a world full of challenges? Well, in Hebrews 11, we have recorded for us a list of people that are incredible examples of people who lived by faith. We see people like Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, and Moses. And then in Hebrews 11, verses 32 to 34, we read this: "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong." Those are powerful and incredible verses for us to be reminded of today. Because too often when we think of people who lived by faith, we think of those people such as Moses and Joshua and all these great men of the faith as being fearless, and that every decision they made was right, and that every decision they made was godly. And we raise these people up almost as if they are perfect and untouchable. And we say to ourselves, oh, we could never live like them, so why try? And I believe at times we glorify these biblical heroes to our own harm. When we compare ourselves to the ones listed in Hebrews 11, it's almost like we think, I'll never be like that, so I'm not even going to make the attempt. And that's to our own harm. When you think about what it looks like to live by faith, I believe there's a lot of confusion as to what it's supposed to look like. Because when we think of characters like Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Moses, yeah, there were moments of great faith. But when you read the scriptures, aren't there other things that were told about them that weren't so great? When I think of Abraham, weren't there times where he lied about Sarah being his wife? Isn't there, when you look at Abraham's history, another woman, another son, and another nation? What about those things? How is he an example of great faith when you think about those things? Sarah was the one who laughed when the angel gave her the message that she was going to bear a child. Wow, what great faith, right? What about Jacob? He's known as being a liar. Moses never made it to the promised land. We see flaws, we see failures, we see mistakes in the lives of these people, but they are told to us in Scripture that they are examples of faith. Then we're told in Hebrews 11, verse 32, of a man named Gideon. How can this weak and fearful farmer, who continued to doubt and test God, be a great example of faith? And that's what I want us to consider together. What does it mean to live by faith? Well, let's start by understanding this, that living by faith is neither being fearless or thoughtless. Anyone listed in Hebrews was not fearless or thoughtless. They made many sinful choices that brought heartache and trouble. They were not perfect people. But yet the Bible tells us that they lived by faith. So the question we want to answer is, how can this be? And the answer, I believe, is very simple, because living by faith is a choice. Living by faith is a choice. Gideon is an example of that in Judges chapter 6. In verses 1 through 24, we see God's call on Gideon's life. He meets him in the bottom of a wine press, tells him that he has a mission for him. He calls him into this ministry that he has for him to be this redeemer of his people. And Gideon's response in verse 15 is this: "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house." His response to God's call on his life was, "Lord, I can't do what you want me to do." And you know what's interesting is his response is exactly right. Gideon couldn't accomplish what God asked him to do in his own strength. And in verse 16 is the key. "Then the Lord said to Gideon, 'Surely I will be with you, and you will defeat the Midianites as one man.'" His response to Gideon is, "Because I'm going to be with you, when you defeat the Midianites, this people group of thousands will seem insignificant because of me." And I believe a lot of us can identify with Gideon, because when you look at him, we see a little bit of us. When we look at his encounter going back and forth with the Lord, with his doubt and with his fear, we can identify with that because we live the same way. Gideon's response to God's call in his life was with great fear. But before we judge him, let's ask ourselves today, how have you responded to the call of God in your life? Well, what do you mean? Well, when you look at what believers are supposed to be doing and how we are supposed to be living, when the Bible clearly tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples, what's your response? Naturally, it's what? Fear, right? Just like Gideon. When the scriptures tell us to love the Lord with all of our heart, to love our neighbor as ourselves, what's our natural response? Oh, a fear out of how they will respond, or let me pick and choose who I want to love and who I want to serve. What about when the Bible says to rejoice in trials that are heavy, hard, and extremely difficult? What about when it tells us that overcoming a sin addiction is possible, even though you feel it just consumes you? When we think about these things, it's very common for all of us to feel like Gideon, and our response being, "I can't do it. I can't rejoice in trials. I can't overcome that sin addiction. I can't share the gospel. I can't love my neighbor. I'm too weak. I'm too fearful to live out what you're asking me to do." So the question for us is, in the midst of our weakness and our fears, just like Gideon had, how do we live by faith? And Gideon is a tremendous example, because in Judges chapter 6, verses 25 through 40, we're going to see how this is lived out. In verses 25 and 26, we're going to see a divine command. God says to Gideon this: "Now it came to pass in the same night that the Lord said to Gideon, 'Take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down.'" So that is God's divine command. He gives Gideon a task that he wants him to do. And he tells him, "I want you to destroy the idolatry in your home." Now, why is that important? Well, over and over again in Scripture, we see that God has already stated to his people that you shall not have other gods before me. Think about it. It was his first command to Moses with the Ten Commandments, right? Thou shalt have no other gods. It was Jesus' last command to us before he left: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is extremely important to God, that we do not have other gods before him, that we do not serve idols, that he alone receives our worship, that he alone receives our praise. In Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24, it really reveals to us what God wants more than anything. Those verses say this: "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. When we read those verses, there are three things that stick out to me. Three idols that we struggle with. One is wisdom. We live in a world where people love this idea of knowledge, that they want to be the smartest and the brightest. They glory in their wisdom. We live in a world full of power, hungry people. They want to be the strongest. They want to be the authority and riches. When I see those three things listed in those verses there, those are things that people naturally glory in: wisdom, strength, and money. But what does God tell us to glory in? He says we're not to glory in those things. He says we are to glory in our relationship with God. And we need to understand this, that true believers cannot build an altar of worship to the Lord unless they tear down the altars that they built to other things. These altars of wisdom and riches and power that we have set up in our lives, until we tear those down, we cannot build an altar of worship to God, because then we have a divided heart. Scripture is clear that the God that we serve is a jealous God, and He will not share His glory or our love with another. And what we need to see is Gideon's response in verse 27. He says this: So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said. That's great. He obeys. He takes 10 men among his servants and did as the Lord told him. We can take great encouragement from that, right? Yes. However, the verse doesn't stop there. The end of verse 27 says this: But because he feared his father's household, the men of the city, too much to do it by day, he did it by night. So yes, he obeyed the Lord, but he did it with great fear. But what I want us to notice is that even though he was fearful, he still obeyed God. Now, I'm not saying it's right to be fearful. God does not give us the spirit of fear, as we're told in the book of Timothy. But let's be honest. We are fearful. We do question God. We doubt. When we find ourselves in those places, we need to be just like the psalmist David, who said, When I am afraid, I will what? I will trust in you. And Gideon's fear was, how would these pagan people respond after I tear down their altars? If I share the gospel, I'm afraid of how people will respond, right? So what's the result? I don't do it. Do you see how fear gets in the way of our obeying God? Gideon is a tremendous example of, even in the midst of his fear, he still obeys God. And that's what it means to live by faith. We will continue in this study next time on The Word for Life. Have a great day.